Hola amigos, bienvenidos al podcast de Albion Obsessed. Me llamo Sony M y aquí estoy con Valen BHA y con Tizzy Mass. Vamos a hablar hoy sobre unas cositas y vamos a ver lo que va a pasar. Okay, great. Hi guys, my name's Sony M. Welcome to the Albion Obsessed podcast. Here we are with a special episode. I have two South American fans. I have Valen BHA and Tizzy Mass. Valen is actually one of the biggest South American streamers here with the Brighton fan base. And of course, Tizzy is one of his friends and he's actually a Wolves fan. So we're going to talk to them both about how they got into Brighton and with Tizzy the Wolves and basically how they kind of found themselves with the Premier League, because I'm sure everybody has a different path. I have a different path. So does Joe and everyone else. And I really hope you guys enjoy. This will be a two-language episode. So you'll hear me speak in Spanish first. These guys will answer. Tizzy knows a little bit of English. Valen, on the other hand, just a little bit, but he'll make it work, right? Okay, so voy a comenzar con Valen. Valen, habla un poquito sobre de usted.
Bueno, hola a todos. Voy a intentar hablar pausado porque hay gente que no entiende, así que vamos a intentar de a poco. Me llamo Valen, tengo 19 años. Actualmente manejo la cuenta de Valen BHA y de Brighton Argentina. Y hace 3 años que ya hablo del Brighton en redes sociales. Y nada, poco más, siguiendo al Brighton e intentando que ganen la mayoría de los partidos, pero últimamente venimos un poco mal, así que venimos medio triste, pero bien, va, vamos. Okay.
Great. So Valen says, hi, his name is Valen. He's 19. He handles both handles of Brighton Arg and of his own handle, Valen BHA. He's been tweeting about it for the last 3 years. And just, yeah, I mean, he's just excited to be here for the most part. And then Tizzy, usted habla con cualquier idioma, no importa.
Voy a hablar en inglés para todas las personas. Tenemos un público inglés, entiendo que es de grande, así que...
Me quieren dejar mal parado.
No, está bien.
Esto es un poco destinado. Entiendo que lo escuchan gente de 2 idiomas, pero creo que la gente que domina más es en inglés, pero puedo hacerlo perfectamente. Los 2 idiomas para finalizar. Well, I'm Tizzy Mass, as Sony said. I run the account of Wolves Argento on Twitter. I've been following Wolves since 2018 when they were in the championship, and obviously it's a team that I have a really good connection, because especially with the video games, FIFA, for example, is a great example, because obviously there were some good players and the cards. But when I'm a really, really lover of the EFL football and the Premier League, so obviously I had a really good connection with Wolves because they were one of the best teams in the championship. For me, it's probably one of the best teams in the history of the EFL. So when they got promoted to the Premier League, the team was bringing some really good players like Moutinho, Rui Patricio, Raul Jimenez. They were incredible players. We all know that. And that was probably the best moment of Wolves in the last few years. Just before what happened with Raul, that head injury in the skull, and that was absolutely dramatic. The scenes here were really, really bad to see. And since then, we see all the fall of Wolves. But before that, they were one of the best teams in the Premier League, and they were fighting for Europa League, and even they reached the quarterfinals. So, yeah, it's my favorite team in the Premier League by far. But I also enjoy watching every single game in the Premier League early in the morning, and sometimes in the afternoon, or sometimes in the night, especially during the week.
Okay, all right, cool. So yeah, that's Tizzy and that's Valen. Let me try to think. Let's see. Le pregunté a Twitter si tenían preguntas, pero you know, obviamente me mandan pelotudeces, so tengo que mirar y ver si son buenos para un podcast. Just to kind of translate, I asked Twitter for questions, and of course they send me all sorts of craziness, so I'm having to go through all of these messages and tweets just to kind of get some questions out. Let's see.
No, there are some good questions.
There are some good questions. All right, let me take a look here. Okay, pregunta por Valen. ¿Cuántos followers tienes en las redes sociales? How many followers do you have on, like, social networks?
Sinceramente, no sigo muchos números, pero creo que en Twitter ya somos casi 37,000. En Twitch sí, también estamos cerca de 15,000 y en TikTok cerca de los 50,000. Así que contentos, somos muchos.
Okay. So he responded with the fact that he has about 30 something thousand Twitter followers. His TikTok is about 50,000. And I forgot what the other one was. Tizzy, acordame. ¿Cuánto era la otra?
¿Cuál la de?
The Twitch, 15,000, right?
Ahí está, yeah. Ah, no entendía que estaba hablando.
15,000.
Yeah, so 15,000 followers on Twitch, almost 37,000 on Twitter, and then definitely 50,000 on TikTok, which is definitely a higher ranking social network now that we really think about it. ¿Cómo creces ¿cómo se llama? ¿Cómo estás creciendo tu TikTok?
A ver, ¿cómo voy creciendo? Yo creo que, siendo yo, más allá de que hablo de Brighton por general o de clubes en Premier y de fútbol en general, cada uno tiene su estilo marcado. Intento reflejar cómo soy yo en Twitter y en TikTok y en todos lados. Y por suerte hay gente que le gusta y nada, contento por eso.
Okay, yeah, so it's basically just messing around with the algorithm, just making sure that he's posting about Brighton. Definitely, you know, like trying to talk about football in general, because he not just only talks about Brighton, he definitely talks about the other teams too. One of his YouTube videos are about his rankings, his belief in rankings, and you can kind of see that art on a TikTok as well. Ha, I called it art. That's hilarious. Okay, so Tizzy, ¿Cuánto gente está en sus redes sociales? How many social networking followers do you have?
On Twitter, I'm closing in on 2,000 followers. It's a really good number. I didn't expect that in probably 2 years. I started running the account on October 2021, so it's been a long way since nowadays, and 2 years and having around 1,600 followers. That's really good, and obviously, it doesn't matter the followers. It means is the content that you are uploading on social media, or your tweets, or the engagement between you and all the followers, and reaching obviously more people, and how we appreciate your job. So, at the end, what it means is not the followers. Obviously, the more followers you have, the best content are you doing. So for me, it's what you're uploading, your tweets, and especially trying to connect the people with your mind and your tweets, and especially with trying to connect the people with what is happening inside the club.
Okay, all right. That's pretty cool. Decilo en español para que los restos te puedan entender.
Okay. Menciona que tengo una cuenta de 1,500 seguidores, que obviamente mi idea principal no es crecer en seguidores, obviamente Valen tiene muchísimo más, pero lo que menciono es tratar de generar esa conexión entre tus tweets y todo lo que subís, junto también con todo lo que pasa dentro del club y también lo que puede pensar, y si eso puede llegar a conectar más gente, sería lo ideal. Y al fin y al cabo, cuanto mejor hagas los tweets, más resultados quizás puedas tener, no tanto en seguidores, pero sí en un poco apreciar lo que haces en tu trabajo. Si es que lo podemos llamar trabajo.
Claro, aparte, si me meto, para mí Tizzy es 10,000 veces, tiene 10,000 veces mejor cuenta que la mía, y bueno, nada, yo tengo la suerte de que al Brighton le ha ido bien. Wolves ha sostenido, pero Brighton ha tenido muchos americanos, y bueno, yo tuve la mala suerte de que se vea más mi cuenta, nada más. Cuando hablo en Twitter, después, bueno, nada. Después en otro lado, ya sin Twitch, la gente quiere verme gritar hasta las 3 de la mañana, ya no. Yo ya no tengo nada que ver con eso, ¿no? Y el Brighton tampoco, pero bueno.
So Valen basically was saying that he admires Tizzy a lot more, despite the fact that he does have a large amount of followers. It's just a visibility kind of deal. Most people like to watch him on Twitch because he does rage online whenever he comes and plays like FIFA, especially FC24. Sometimes PES will be involved. And then we also, at least on his stream, we play Football 11, which is something that he likes to do.
And the passion of uploading content on Twitter is really important. What your passion that you are really enjoying what you're doing on social media. For me, obviously, I like uploading Twitter. I like watching games, football games. But obviously, I have another jobs, another work that I spend more hours doing that. And for Valen, he is a full time making streams and watching games. So that's really good. And I fully appreciate what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, he's definitely one of the best streamers that I've seen online, which is how I ended up following the Brighton Arc Twitter account and was like, oh, sweet, there's a Spanish fan base I should watch. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those like labor of love type deals. I don't know. I was really impressed by his work, which is how we ended up all kind of coming in together. So I have followed Valen for about 5 or 6 months now. I am a subscriber of his because I love his work, despite the fact that he does rage a lot. It's fantastic. If you ever get the chance... If you ever get the chance of watching a stream of his, please do, because it is definitely
Even if you don't understand the language, you will fully understand that he's not enjoying what he's doing and he rages plenty of times. But yeah, that's funny at the end.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Si no ha visto a Valen at Twitch.tv / what is it? Valen BHA?
Valen BHA.
Yeah. Twitch.tv/ Valen BHA. Si no lo han visto, lo tienes que mirar. Okay. Contenido muy bueno. 10 más 10. You know, like,
that's every other day.
Yeah. Casi todos los días. Porque este pelotudo... Unas veces no llega a los streams.
That's why it's every other day and not every single day.
Uno hace lo que puede. Che, me están quemando. No me quemen en frente de la gente.
He says that we're cooking him live right now. No, it's absolutely deserved. You know, absolutely deserved. Okay, so, all right. Tengo que mirar que vamos a preguntar más. ¿Qué clases de músicas te gustan? Porque yo sé la música de Inglaterra y de los Estados Unidos es muy diferente, pero like, ¿cómo son su estilo?
No sé, que responda a ti si primero que lo tiene más marcado. Yo la verdad que me gusta todo, así que no tengo nada para...
I basically asked what their favorite music is and like what their music taste is like, because of course everybody in the UK has a different taste. In the United States have different tastes. Like, I don't know if we have the exact same or different ones. So I'm asking these guys, like, what's up?
Yeah, despite the fact that in Argentina, the taste of the music is probably rap trap and probably one of the Latin America taste. For me, the best genre by far is metal, rock, heavy metal, black metal, and obviously there's plenty of really good bands that I'd like to see in one day in my life here. But obviously, I appreciate the other genres. I'm used to hearing heavy metal because I had a really good connection with heavy metal. I feel passionate when I hear that. Yeah, I would like to be in a concert one day live, but unfortunately I had to be watching YouTube or Spotify some really good songs. Yeah, that's why I really enjoy metal, and especially one of my favorite bands is Rammstein. It's a heavy metal from Germany, but also, for example, an historic one, a classic Queen from the UK from the 80s and the 90s. Obviously, despite that, it isn't very popular in South America. There's a really good community around the world, and we all appreciate that what they've been doing over the last few years. But my favorite genre by far is metal rock, and I really enjoy listening to it.
Okay. That's good. That's some good shit right there. Sorry. Good stuff. Need to filter myself out here really quick. Okay, Valen, tu músico favorito y dame un grupo.
Un grupo, no sé, yo escucho de todo, escucho rap, escucho trap, pero también, no sé, escucho música vieja. Estoy escuchando, bueno, ya lo conté, lo he contado, pero estoy escuchando mucho Big Time Rush actualmente, así que es una banda que de mi infancia, pero la verdad que tienen buenas canciones. Y no, yo no me puedo quedar con uno. Sí, si hay gente que escucha mucho ahora, a ver, un artista que esté escuchando mucho ahora. Porque también está RKT, no sé cómo sería, cómo decir, cómo explicar el RKT para alguien que no es de Argentina. Que es como... Y como trap, pero medio cumbia también, es medio raro. Una combinación bastante... Pero bueno. Pero si yo me tengo que quedar con un artista, porque un grupo, no sé, un artista me quedo con... ¿Cómo es que me quedo? Con ICA estoy escuchando mucho, ICA. ICA, me parece, no lo van ni a conocer, pero... Acá suena fuerte y nada, me gusta mucho.
Okay, so Valen pretty much likes all types of music. He's actually really big into Big Time Rush right now for some reason, which is one of his like childhood bands. I haven't heard that band in a very long time, not gonna lie. They pop up every once in a while. Yeah. No, I mean, they made a show out of it on like Nickelodeon, so of course you're gonna watch that.
Yes.
But he can't really pick out a band, which is understandable because he just listens to way too much. There's a band in particular that he did mention. However, we wouldn't know about it because I don't even know about it. It's definitely a South American kind of deal. Okay, next question. ¿Cómo se hicieron amigos? How did you guys become friends?
Good question.
Buena pregunta. A ver... Yo a ti sí lo conozco por Twitter, al principio cuando ya te uniste, ya el primer mes que vos ya te uniste a Twitter, porque yo estoy hace un año antes, pero hice una Twitter y ya empezamos a hablar y demás, porque por lo general, cierto, yo suelo tener trato con las cuentas también que son de clubes de Premier, porque hay partidos entre clubes para que no haya malos entendidos y demás, pero con Tizi pegamos buena onda desde el día uno y la verdad que desde el día que le hablé por primera vez hasta ahora... yo siento, ¿no?, que puedo hablar cualquier cosa con Tizi, es mi mano derecha en todo esto y le tengo un gran aprecio, no le tengo a las otras cuentas, digamos, ¿no? Ya es un más sobresale de Twitter y demás, no como el, pero bueno, se fue forjando, no sé él.
Okay.
Internet,
porque él por ahí me dice, no, yo lo odio, la verdad que nada que ver, cualquier cosa.
Puede ser.
Me cae como el culo.
Sí, te voy a decir algo acá para quedar bien, pero en realidad te odio.
Ah, sí, está bien.
No, pero ya tenemos una buena relación, porque básicamente, bueno, obviamente internet ayuda un poco, y nunca nos conocimos personalmente, pero la realidad es que nos mensajeamos bien y siempre tenemos buena conexión.
Claro. En algún momento lo vamos a conocer, no funciona
sí,
así.
Sí, obvio. Pero sabemos que tenemos de amigos ya un año y medio que nos conocemos bien, y él empezó en Twitch y también lo ayudé mucho porque me gustaba también lo que estaba haciendo él, así que en parte un poco esa conexión de obviamente el fútbol inglés, ¿no? En parte el fútbol inglés ayudó en que nos conocemos mucho más.
Yeah, so these guys are actually like really good friends that have been stemming from like the last year and a half. Valen over here was trying to reach out to different Twitter accounts and whatnot, just because everybody plays against each other. He just wanted like a good base to go off with. And he ended up meeting Tizi online and they started getting along really well. And now like they're like super best friends. Like Tizzy's his right-hand man, like hands down, like that's a true bro right there. And that obviously surpasses not just online, but we're also talking about like in life, like these guys are like this. So they're definitely really good friends. And like Tizi mentioned, he also was really attracted to like what Valen was working on online, and so he was just helping him out with whatever he could, and there you go, now you guys have a good pair right there. Okay, let's see. ¿Qué preguntas tienen por mí? What questions do you guys have? Because I'm sure there's a bunch.
¿Cómo te sientes en Brighton? ¿Cómo estás supporting Brighton?
Yeah. So el año pasado, porque yo follow baseball, yo miro baseball, mi equipo estaba perdiendo 100 juegos. en el año y perdieron finalmente como 107. So, tenía que mirar otro deporte porque ya me estaba poniendo.
Estaban haciendo tanking, ¿no?
Estaban haciendo tanking. Y un amigo mío me llevó a un juego de la MLS y no sabía nada de fútbol, solo fui porque me dieron un boleto gratis. I was like, fuck it, I'll go. Y después de eso me gustó que era rápido, que, you know, like, es más técnico que béisbol. Béisbol es fácil, solo se para ahí y le pega la pelota, si lo pega, great. Si no, then, you know, estás perdiendo 107 juegos. Pero, miré un juego de Manchester United con Brighton el primer día del Premier League y no sabía ni los equipos, ¿ok? Solo sabía Manchester United porque mis amigos eran hincha del Manchester United. Miré un día y Brighton ganó y me gustó los colores, me gustó el equipo, Graham Potter cuando estaba ahí. Y después de eso dije, ok, este es mi equipo. So fui a Twitter, le dije hola a todos y después de eso, you know, el resto es history, really.
The thing of Bayern, obviously starting watching a really excited team like Brighton and obviously enjoy watching games. It's not the same with Wolves. Mm-hmm. It isn't the same with Wolves, but obviously we're just trying to get by and survive in the Premier League.
Yeah. So what I said earlier, basically, and I don't know if a lot of people were able to like watch one of the first podcasts that I made without being obsessed, but I was watching a baseball team that was losing 107 games and I needed a new sport to watch. I ended up going to a DC United game here in Washington, DC with a guy that I was seeing and I really loved it. And somehow I ended up on this podcast. Who knew? Who knew? Shout out to Twitter for that, because they're the real MVPs right there. Okay, so next question. Vamos a hablar sobre los equipos que ustedes miran en Argentina. So we're going to talk about the Argentinian teams that these guys watch, because obviously they are first those fans, followed by their Premier League fans. So Valen, ¿cómo te hiciste hincha de Estudiantes?
Bueno, lo primero que cabe recalcar que nosotros vamos a jugar en semifinales, tipo mi equipo contra el suyo, así que nada. Igual ustedes están pendientes de otra cosa, no tiene nada que ver, están pendientes
de la final de la Copa Libertadores. Pero el partido después. Ya vamos a ver igual, depende de cómo
se. Bueno, no importa. Cuestión, yo soy hincha de Estudiantes desde chiquito, desde que nací. Acá en Argentina es algo que para mí no pasa en otros lugares del mundo. Es muy familiar el fútbol, se transmite de generación en generación. Pasa eso de que la gente es muy pasional porque lo siente como si fuese su propia familia. En Estudiantes es uno de los lemas de inculcarlo como si fuese una familia, el propio equipo. Porque Estudiantes, el propio lema, uno de los lemas es que es la familia más grande del mundo, como muchas, como muchos lemas de muchas instituciones en Argentina. Porque se vive de esa manera, ¿no? Y yo lo viví, a mí se me transmitió por mi abuelo. Mi abuelo me hizo hincha de Estudiantes. Y hasta el día de hoy, todos los días, desde que tengo conciencia, digamos, quiero que sean Estudiantes, sufro por Estudiantes. Y a veces me alegro, a veces. Tengo esas rachitas cortas.
So, Valen was explaining that, like, football in Argentina is passed down by generation. Like, if your family follows a particular team, they're going to keep passing that love down. It's definitely a community thing. It's definitely a family thing. They're part of their identity. It's very huge in Argentina. And I didn't realize it was huge until I started watching these guys. So for him, he follows Estudiantes de La Plata. Of course, that's one of the teams in their Argentinian Premier League. And then of course, Tizzy. I actually don't know too much about Tizzy's team. So let's go with that. Tizzy, sobre Boca Juniors, ¿sí?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So tell us about Boca Juniors.
If you think that Boca Juniors is the biggest team in Argentina, you're right. It's the biggest team in the country. Obviously, the most cups, the most leagues, and the most, one of, the second most during the most second most, but could be the first, well, with the most Copa Libertadores, because we are searching the septima, the seventh Copa Libertadores on November 4th. But obviously, it's as Valencia is the same. I became a Boca fan because of my father, my mother. They are all Boca fans as well. So, yeah, I have no other option. I had to be a Boca fan as well. So, yeah, I suffered a lot with Boca, especially in the last few years, because we obviously we have won some trophies. But it's the same. Boca and Manchester United is the comparison that I'd like to say, because obviously Boca and Man United, they play one of the worst footballs in the country. And though they are playing really bad, they're still winning games, they're still winning trophies. So that's the culture, that's because of the fans, because the two teams have the most fans in the country, and that's really important. That's why the fans are really important in a football club. So obviously the trophies are what matters at the end, and we are searching for the league, we're searching for the cup as well. As Valencia, we're in the Argentinian FA Cup on semi-finals in the next month, but obviously the main objective, the main aim is on November 4th, is like Champions League final, but in South America against Brazilian club Fluminense. It will be a really tough game, obviously. Yeah, we'd like to finish the year in the best possible option. And remember, the winner of the Copa Libertadores will be qualifying for the Clubs World Cup. So there's a chance that Boca will face Man City. This is still far away, but this is not still far away. It's only 2 or 3 games away from that. So, yeah, why not Boca against Man City? But first of all, Copa Libertadores final, November the 4th. If you'd like to see that final, it will be a huge game in Brazil. But if you didn't see Stadium 4, La Bombonera, if you'd like to see that game, a game in La Bombonera, that stadium, you could see a game or in YouTube. And if you had the opportunity to travel to Argentina and go to La Bombonera, it's an incredible experience, unforgettable, and surely you will be very well received. So yeah, Boca, the best team in the country by far, and surely you will enjoy watching games because of the people, but not because of the football, because we play so bad sometimes. But
okay, there you go.
No me gustó la comparación de Boca con United. Yo soy sí, de no, Estudiantes sí. Y del Brighton. No me gustó. No me gustó. Y encima semifinales FA Cup Copa Argentina. No me gustó. El único que que no termine igual porque me puedo llegar a cortar las dos. Bueno, no puedo decir porque no estoy en mi Twitch. Así que...
Bueno, lo puedes decir en español, pero no lo voy a traducir.
Son coincidencias.
Me voy a cortar las propias ilusiones. Igual
y
para
además,
mí...
No, y pará. ¿Sabes cómo ganó el United de Brighton, no?
Sí, cuando mal y por Braille.
Claro, es así, la historia está escrita. The history is written.
Claro, Ascasio de Sol y March.
Oh man. Okay, now this is a segment where I'm gonna call Valen Speaks English for a little bit here. Okay, Valen, decí algo en inglés.
No, bueno, hello. I don't know. No sé cómo se dice qué decir. Iba a decir.
I like to say.
I don't know.
I like to say. But I like Brighton. Brighton, the best team in the world. No tengo más nada para decir.
Very good.
Great effort.
Okay. So
moving day by day.
Okay. So I actually have a question.
Step
for you
by
guys.
Step.
Tengo una pregunta para ustedes. Si qué jugadores ustedes están mirando que creen que puede llegar a la Premier League. So I basically asked them, like, what players should we be looking at who may make it to the Premier League? Because we definitely have a couple of on radar, and I'm sure these guys have, like, an idea of what could be on there, too.
Boat, Barco, the boat.
The boat. Yes. Both. Valentin.
Bueno, Rolazer. Me gustaría verlo en el Brighton. La verdad que es un jugador fantástico y ya lo disfruté mucho. Creo que se le está quedando muy corto a Estudiantes y para mí necesita un salto y la Premier tiene ese salto.
Okay.
Yeah, you all know that Valentin Bargu is one of the best talented players in Argentina. He's actually playing for Boca as well. So yeah, Man City and Brighton have kept an eye on him over the last few weeks and even months, I think. And it surely will be a player that will be probably playing for. Well, I don't think England would be an option, but obviously an Italian in Spain. But I'd like to see him in the Prem because he's really, really talented. He can play as a left back, he can play as a left midfield, he can play as a left wing as well. He's a really good talent. And you see he's made many knapsacks in the game. So, yeah, it's a really, really enjoyable player. But also there's several other players that are actually playing really well. Ezequiel Fernandez, for example, is a midfielder. In fact, Alexis McAllister said that he could be a really good replacement at Brighton. He said that before he left. So, yeah, he could be another player that probably... I think Milan is keeping an eye on him and could be making an approach in the next month, because remember that we're only 3 months away from the January transfer window. So, yeah, probably Brighton and many other teams will be following that kind of players. Fernandez, Barco is obviously, and it's really interesting because he don't have an expensive release clause. It's only around 10 million or 15 million pounds. So it's not expensive for an English team. In fact, it's really cheap and it's a time to play. It's only 19-year-old and it's really, really good. But obviously, Boca have a pretty side experience with Cavani, for example, but the best striker in the history. Cavani is playing for Boca Juniors nowadays. And there's Avíncula, for example, who's a Peruvian right back. And there's really good players, but I had to mention these two because they are really talented. They are young and really good young prospect that probably every team in the Premier League should be following him. But Brighton and City are the teams that have been named over the last few months that they've been keeping an eye on. And surely they will make an approach and maybe an offer in the next months. I don't think in January could be an option, but in June and next year, probably, and surely Brighton will be making an approach for that.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Okay. Todo es posible. Todo es posible. Just putting that out there. Okay. All right. I'm trying to think. What else could I ask you guys? Tizzy, what do you do outside of football? ¿Qué haces afuera de football?
Outside of football, I'm a cybersecurity student, and I also have a blog about talking about cybersecurity. But I'm a student, and I'm in the first year of the career, the first of 4 years. I really enjoy watching some. For example, some malware analyst, malware researcher. I'd like to be a malware researcher. Every week, once a week, I upload an article in my blog talking about cybersecurity. That's my passion alongside football as well. But I also, outside football, not many. Only cybersecurity, and I spend the majority of my time doing that, and obviously watching TV. I spend so many time with technology, my computer, my mobile phone as well. Sometimes I have free time and go out, but obviously I had to mention cybersecurity because it's something that I spend so many time of my life doing that, and I'd like to do that in the next few years as well.
Okay, great, cool. Thanks for that. Valen, ¿qué haces afuera de fútbol?
Afuera del fútbol, actualmente no mucho, porque antes estudiaba, el año que viene voy a volver a estudiar, pero hubo un problema de intereses con la carrera que estaba estudiando, no era para mí, así que me cambié y actualmente fuera de estudiar estoy enfocado en esto de las redes, así que edito y demás, me paso para pienso ideas y otras cosas, pero no mucho más, no mucho más. La verdad que últimamente vivo la vida nada más. Estoy totalmente al pedo, digamos, como dicen acá.
Messing around.
Yeah, yeah. ¿Qué estudiaste antes y qué vas a estudiar?
Estudié programación e informática, digamos, y ahora voy a estudiar comunicación. O sea, nada que ver, pero más como para tener más una charla directa con la gente y poder estudiar algo que esté relacionado con lo que estoy siguiendo ahora.
Okay, okay. So Valen currently isn't really studying much of anything. He's taken the year off to just kind of focus on his Twitch streams and content creation and whatnot, which is actually really cool. Not many people have the luxury of just stopping what they're doing and going. He used to do IT, and now he's actually going to go into communications, which he hopes will kind of bolster his interests in not only streaming, but also like out in the world, you know, because who doesn't want to be like technologically cool and also have a better rapport with people out there? Like that's a pretty nice deal. Trying to think. So para ustedes, yo trabajo, obviamente, pero yo estoy en información técnica. So yo hago como inventoria, hago como preservaciones de un edificio de casi 120 años. So, yo hago muchas cosas. Antes hablaba con gente en sales, en ventas, pero ya no hago eso porque ya no me interesa. Voy a matar a alguien si hago eso otra vez. I basically told him that what I do is pretty much IT stuff, but I mostly work on the inventory side and on the real estate preservation side. So, my path to football is not anywhere close to my actual life's work. So I know a lot of people don't know that, but now you guys know. Like, we're all talking about work. May as well like discuss what we're into, yeah? Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think. ¿Cómo decís hobbies en español, Tizzy?
Hobbies. También.
Okay. Oh, hobbies? Okay. ¿Qué hobbies ustedes tienen?
Watching football should be considered a hobby.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. They all watch football as a hobby.
Playing football as well.
Okay.
Obviously not every single day, but only once a week, twice a week. That's okay. the space of time in the week. So, yeah, why not?
I know that family is a huge thing for football. Have you guys gone with like friends and played football? Like, did you guys play football when you were younger? Is that kind of how you got into the path that you guys currently are?
I used to play football for around, I think, 14 years, 13 years, a lot of time. But yeah, I'm now used to watching football games probably every single weekend, every single day. But yeah, I'm used to playing football and probably in neighbor and with my neighbors, with my friends, and not professional, some amateurs games. Like for example, in England, they all say the Sunday League was just like that. But yeah, I'm not playing football like that anymore, and I'm just messing around with my friends playing football, five a-sides, eight a-side during the weekend or even on Fridays if I had enough time. So yeah, that's why I used to play football, and now I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay. Valen, ¿jugaste football antes? ¿Que lo mirabas con familia o amigos o...?
No, a ver, fue largo. Yo intenté jugar al fútbol cuando era chiquito, después dejé. Por lo general, intenté todos los deportes, pero no soy constante. Entonces, al no tener constancia, a la larga termino dejando. Creo que Twitch y las redes son lo primero que fui constante en toda mi vida, pero sí, no soy constante y eso me mató. Pero cuando era chico jugué fútbol, me llevé a probar en gimnasia. Soy hincha de estudiantes, o sea, el clásico rival, como si me fuiste del Brighton, te fueras a probar en el Palace. Así fue. Y quedé, pero no terminé yendo porque no quería. Solamente fui para ver cómo estaba el nivel, nada más. y era chico, y después, bueno, el tiempo me pasó, y la verdad que soy bastante malo jugando, pero lo disfruto mucho, y de ahí sale el fanatismo. También yo iba a un colegio, al colegio de gimnasia, que es el clásico, y eran todos muy enfermos por el fútbol, entonces desde ahí ya te tiene que gustar casi implícitamente para que no te hagan bullying en el recreo, así que uno tiene que acoplarse, y bueno, nada, después terminé siendo estudiante y me hicieron bullying igual, pero bueno, por lo menos no porque no me guste el fútbol, sino porque eran todos de gimnasia y yo estudiando.
So basically, Valen played all sports. When he was younger, he played all the sports that he could. He was not great in football, just wasn't really his thing. He played with another, I guess, like school or whatever. And that particular school was like crazy about football. And basically, you had to like football or else you'd get bullied the crap out of, which is what I think crazy. But, I mean, he likes all sports. He just, you know, doesn't really play them. He's not really great at them, but he loves following them. So, okay, good. Good passion for both. Okay, let's see. Me dieron otra pregunta, pero lo tengo que mirar. Tizzy, ¿tienes fans? ¿Tienes fans? Porque, yeah.
Me sorprende porque no suele pasar eso en la vida real, pero está bien.
Yeah, I mean, like everybody that I was talking to earlier was like, yeah, we should support Tizzy. Like Tizzy's great. That's the whole running joke with this, right? Like if Valen and Tizzy are together, everybody will support Tizzy and nobody will support Valen. But you know, that again, running joke. It basically brings out the dynamics. Lots and lots of fun. All right, let me see what Twitter says because I know people said something.
Yeah, they sent a couple.
Let's see. Valen, ¿opinas que Brighton necesita un reemplazo serio en medio campo y arriba para poder al menos compartir en la Europa League?
A ver, yo opino que el Brighton tiene muchas lesiones y el Ciso es un jugador clave que lo tenés lesionado. Yo creo, ¿no?, que el recambio general del Brighton lo tiene que hacer en defensa. Es muy endeble en defensa, hace cuántos, no sé, 15 partidos que el Brighton le vienen haciendo goles, mínimo un gol por partido, y eso no, que puede pasar más allá de que juegues Europa, en Champions, en Championship, en cuarta división, no te puede pasar nunca, pero sí, yo creo que necesita un recambio de todo, pero por lo general yo haría más hincapié en la defensa que en el mediocampo y en la delantera. Pero, a ver, tampoco me disgusta el recambio que tiene el Brighton en la mitad de la cancha. Jugadores como Baleva, que todavía no rindió, no puede reemplazar a Caicedo de un día para el otro, pero es un gran jugador. Yo creo que Gross siempre rindió muy bien y hay que darle tiempo a los jugadores nuevos. Hay algunos a los que no les tenés que dar tiempo y no los tenés que hacer jugar más, como Mindler, por ejemplo. Directamente ya no los tenés que hacer jugar más. Pero sí, yo creo que el Brighton necesita más recambio en defensa que en ataque y la mitad de la cancha.
Yes. So I asked Valen if Brighton pretty much needs a serious replacement in the field and up front, but he mostly stated that it's going to be a defensive type deal. Like he believes that there are people that should be not on the field in general. One of the big example that we saw yesterday was Milner. Milner got taken off of the first half because he just wasn't really doing anything, and it's obviously frustrating if a player doesn't like get it together in time, and you know, first half means everything.
When you play Man City, is you have to the young to the club. Obviously, if you play Milner and if you play Milner as a right back, it won't work. Especially when you are against Toku, that is a really good dribbler, and you put Milner as a right back, it won't work. And obviously, the Serb is a great manager. We all know that. And Brighton is a really excitement team as well. But you have to put Milner in the right position, and his right position is on the bench. No doubts about that.
They said on the bench. Hopefully, Albion Obsessed listeners, you can relate to that as well, because clearly we were not happy. I wasn't happy for the first half. I had to turn it off after like the second goal because I was just so angry. So that's just, it's not great. They also mentioned Baleba as well, Baleba being supposedly the Caicedo replacement that currently isn't ready, but of course he is making his starts. He is trying to do the best that he can. I know there's Ansu Fati as well, at least to me personally, like second goal in the Premier League. We got to applaud the man because that guy is literally putting in work out there, showing people how it's done, right? Okay, second question. Let's see. ¿Qué opinan del doping positivo del Papu Gómez?
Es que tampoco, no sé qué opinar. La verdad que hay dos versiones. Veremos cuál es la oficial, porque la versión es una que se dopó para obtener una mejora en el rendimiento, y la de él es que usó un jarabe de la hija. Veremos qué versión es la correcta. Lo que sí, hay mucha gente que por el doping del Papu Gómez desmerita a Messi, la Copa y demás. Dicen que obviamente que jugaron jugadores que no podían jugar. Buscan excusas para desmeritar al mejor jugador de la historia del deporte. Así que nada, si es por ese lado me da risa, y si es por el lado de él, y bueno, estaba jugando en el Monza, tampoco que tenía mucha carrera por delante, ya está, se le había terminado la carrera, estaba en las últimas, así que mejor que salte el caso ahora. Pero ponele, le querían sacar el campeonato del mundo. No sé si estoy de acuerdo. Tampoco tuvo tanta incidencia en el propio juego como para decir le podemos sacar el título del mundo al propio Papu Gómez. Pero bueno, no sé qué opinará Tizi.
Sí,
¿qué tienes? He actually played 2 games in the World Cup and he was introduced to in the final. So yeah, obviously he played games, and so I don't think this should affect Argentina at all. But obviously for him, is it the same, for example, for what we've seen of this kind of betting actions, for example, like Mantoni and Signore and Tonali? This is different. We see, for example, Tony. He was banned for 8 or 9 months, I think. This is 2 years. That's a lot. I think 1 year is enough. But when you see other players that have been in this situation and they receive a 2 years ban, yeah, they obviously, probably we can complain that. But if Papu receives what he received, it's a 2 years ban. At the end, you can't complain that, because there were so many players that received that 2 years ban as well. So yeah, it's difficult. I think we will get the things correctly in the next few months. So yeah, but obviously, if he had eaten that kind of medicine or something that his game will improve and will be a little bit better. Yeah, he and obviously his friends or even his agent and the club can't complain that it's a 2 year span, and if he is forcing probably a retirement in the next few weeks because he's closing in on retirement, and it's still an old player and he's played at Monza in Serie A, it isn't the same bubble that we've seen in the last few years when he was playing at a biggest club in Serie A, and he was playing in Sevilla as well in Spain.
Okay. A question I asked earlier to kind of give a little bit of context. One of the Argentinian players on the Argentina team is currently being investigated for doping, which obviously, if you guys know, they won the World Cup last year, and you know, people are kind of worried like whether or not it'll affect it. Valen thinks otherwise. He doesn't think it should affect it. And same thing with Tizzy, I suppose. Like it's either a forced retirement or just him just getting slapped with like a year ban or a 2 year ban. But it's definitely a topic of interest down in South America, again, because they won the World Series, and that's kind of putting doubt, like the World Series, not World Series, World Cup win, okay. World Cup win. Sorry, baseball, they're all the same thing to me, really. Yeah. Okay, this question is for Tizzy. Pregunta sería para Tizzy. ¿Qué necesita los Wolves para competir seriamente? Ya sea infraestructura, jugadores, entrenador. Basically, what that means in English is for Tizzy, because the Wolves are obviously playing right now. What do the Wolves need in order to win, like to be seriously competitive? Because clearly they're doing okay in the PL, but are they actually doing okay is the question.
It's really difficult. There was some financial concerns during the summer, so that was really problematic, and that was a big issue because Lopetegui left out, and he decided not to continue with Wolves, and also we were forced to sell the best players, Ruben Neves, Mateus Nunes, Adama was on a free agent as well, Raúl Jiménez, plenty of other talented players. But still, Wolves had a really good team. Many people said, well, Wolves are going to get relegated. Wolves will be fighting for relegation because they sell many players. But yeah, when you see Cunha, Juan, Neto, Lemina, Joe Gomez, Dawson Kilman, they're really good players. They are really talented players. So Wolves have a really good squad to compete for the Premier League. I don't think, obviously, that if you make a comparison between Wolves, Aston Villa, or even Newcastle, Brighton, it's not the same team, and it isn't the same team that we've seen for Wolves in the last year, for example, in 2019 season, 2020, when Wolves were in Europa League. But I think Wolves got the talented, and I'd like to shout out Gary O'Neill, because he arrived to Wolves just 3 days before the opening day against Man United at Trafford, and he was really, really clever and making some brave moves. He bring back to basics and put a back three against Man City. Just 3 or 2 days after Wolves were knocked out of the Carabao Cup against Ipswich Town 3-2, when Wolves were winning 2-0, and it was a turnaround, and everyone was claiming for O'Neill's head. But just 3 days after that, Wolves won at Molineux 2-1 against Man City. So, obviously, everyone was one with his hands on the head and said, what happened? This is the Wolves that we all want to see. And after that, a draw against Villa Point was great, and just the wins against Bournemouth was incredible. 1-0 down to 2-1 up, a goal in the final minutes, another winning goal, the limbs in the way, and were incredible as well. So this is the Wolves that we all want to see, a Wolves that have a really good connection between the manager, the fans, and even the board, because Jeff Shee, that is the chairman of Wolverhampton Wanderers, he was really criticized for his moves. He obviously, what happened with Julio Petegui and the fans criticizing him, but also the lack of investment was an issue of Wolves. But as I said, Wolves have a really good squad. Pedro Neto, Cunha, Huang, they're talented players, and in fact, 9 of the 11 goals that Wolves have scored in the Premier League this season have been between, I think, Cunha and Juan, and I think one more were for Neto, and the rest were from Sasha Kalajic. So 4 players were involved in the 11 goals from Wolves so far this season. And that shows us the talented players that Wolves have, and despite selling the majority of the players during the summer. And I think Wolves have to improve. Obviously, this is a really good way that Wolves are going forward, but I think they have to improve in some especially. And I think Gary O'Neill is doing a really good job so far. Obviously, there were so many really bad games. For example, Brighton 4-1 defeat at home. That's not good at all. But when you see the stats and when you see all of the performance, I think Wolves are in a really good position. They are in the position that they should have, which is in the mid-table. And I think Wolves won't be fighting as a relegation. They are really worse teams like Burnley, Bournemouth, Luton, plenty of more teams that are worse than the Wolves. But obviously, it's difficult to see and say Wolves will be fighting for top 10. Because I think this will be a transitional season. Wolves, for example, Matt Hobbs, the sporting director, he is not saying that, but he's acting like Wolves should be, for example, surviving this season. And then we'll see what happens next season when Wolves won't be with financial concerns next season, and they could bring some really good and talented players like we've seen with Raul Adama, Diogo Jota. That team from the 2019-2020 season was incredible, and was have beaten Man City in that season in the 2 times at Etihad and at the Molineux, and we all know that Wolves were really good at the time. But I think this Wolves team will surprise many people this season, and 4 games unbeaten. Next up is Newcastle at home. really hard rates of game. But I think Wolves are in a really good direction. And yeah, if we finish mid-table, I'd take that. I'd be very happy with that, because despite the fact that we have had concerns and so many issues during the summer in terms of financial problems, this whole staying with Garanil and Neto, Cunha, Wang, all are doing a really good job. So I appreciate and I enjoy what we've seen over the last three matches. I enjoy that and I take that, and I want to see this Wolves team being even better. And yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, there you have it. Long, long, long conversation about Wolves. They're definitely a team that we were definitely afraid of at one point, just because of the way that we were playing. Except last year's 6-0 game that I was there for, 10 out of 10, best game I've seen.
Yeah, so. Right on web battering us and scoring so many goals against us. But yeah, I would say Brighton is a really good team, and they'd like to battle the teams.
6-0, everybody.
6-0. But the 6-0 was with Junior Lopetegui, and he's not here anymore. A 4-1 was with Garonia, and that's truly an improvement.
That's improvement.
Scoring a goal and conceding only 4 goals, that's truly an improvement. And we see the dynamics in January, in the next month. I take a 3-0 defeat at this point.
Okay. All right. He'll take a 3-0 defeat. I'll take a 6-0 again. Like, as long as I'm there. We can watch this. Okay. Valen, question. Alguien preguntó, ¿es una decepción en Brighton en competencia europeas con lo que demostró estos últimos partidos?
Sí, no. Debería, para mí, contra la Liga Atenas, pecó de no tener experiencia en el torneo, porque le ganan por ser un equipo sin experiencia. Si vos analizás el tercer gol de la de Catenas, es una jugada en donde queda Lamptey marcando al delantero rival, que le saca 3 cabezas, Lamptey le va a chocar y ya quedan 3-1, y aunque Steele la ataja, le queda el rebote a, creo que es Ponce el que termina liquidando el partido. O sea, es una jugada que no te puede pasar siendo local, teniendo la obligación, la pelota, vos no podés quedar tan atrás porque cada partido cuenta. Entiendo que en la Premier League vos tenés 38 fechas, si te va mal en una tenés 37 más para hacer puntos. Acá ya es algo más complicado, entiendo que tampoco te puedes quedar atrás. Estaba bien el Brighton yendo a buscar la victoria, pero yo creo que puntualmente ese partido lo pierde por inexperiencia, sinceramente, porque no puede quedar tan mal parado en defensa, por lo menos el primer partido. Y después, contra el Marsella, el primer tiempo del Brighton fue desastroso, pero en el segundo tiempo mostró carácter, y es algo que es para guardar, porque desde que el Brighton mostró ese carácter, jugó mejor contra el Liverpool, contra el City, le pasó lo mismo el otro día, pero está mostrando ese carácter de ya no hace falta tanto jugar tan bien como para hacer goles. Entonces eso es importante. Y quedan 4 partidos. La decepción va a ser si cuando termine la fase de grupos, si el Brighton no pasa a ninguna competencia, más allá de quedar afuera acá, pero por lo menos clasificar a Conference, que también para mí es una decepción. Pero yo creo que les queda mucho. Ahora al Brighton le viene Ajax. Es un partido que está obligado. Y Ajax perdió 4-3 contra el Utrecht, creo que se llama así, algo así, un equipo holandés. Está anteúltimo en la liga holandesa, la Eredivisie. Tienen un montón de problemas dirigenciales, más allá de la estructura como equipo, que también es mala. Así que el Brighton está obligado a ganar, más allá de lo que es el Ajax, el contexto, el rival, las Champions, la historia. Y que el Brighton es un equipo inexperto en Europa, que pesa, porque por lo general vos podés jugar bien, pero esas cosas terminan pesando. Al Manchester City, cuando clasificó a Champions, me acuerdo la primera vez, le tocó un grupo recontra difícil y salió último también. No me acuerdo, creo que estaba Ajax también en su grupo, pero pasan esas cosas. Uno va ganando experiencia a medida va jugando, y el Brighton recién ahora es un terreno desconocido, pero ojalá que le vaya bien y ojalá que pueda sacar los máximos puntos posibles y clasificar. Y si es como primero, que todavía tiene un montón de chances, porque el primero del grupo es AEK Atenas, y ganando lo alcanzaríamos. El AEK Atenas creo que tiene que ir a jugar a Francia, si no me equivoco, ahora será en Grecia. La verdad no tengo ni idea quién hace de local en el otro partido de AEK Atenas Marsella, pero es una posibilidad real. El Brighton gana y se mete entre los dos mejores sí o sí, pase lo que pase. Entonces, pasás de la decepción a estás a nada de clasificar porque te quedan 3 partidos. Cada partido es una final y el Brighton lo tiene que vivir como tal, tiene que salir a ganarlo, y yo confío en los muchachos porque han demostrado en los últimos partidos que, aunque tienen errores, falencias defensivas y falencias que no corrigen tanto, atraen tanto el ataque como en defensa, yo creo que el Brighton puede clasificar y que no va a terminar siendo una decepción, y ojalá que llegue lo más lejos posible, y quien te dice que por ahí te meta un semifinales, campeón, bueno, ya estoy soñando mucho, pero ojalá, Dios quiera.
Yeah, so I asked Valen this question, which was like, is Brighton a disappointment in European competition with what they have shown these last games? And for him, he basically said it's a mix of yes and no. I kind of agree the same. It's definitely one of those things where inexperience and a competition of that caliber do not go hand in hand. It's one of those things that you basically have to learn, right? And he also mentioned Ajax as well. Ajax is not doing great right now. They are pretty much in the relegation zone in the Eredivisie for them. So he and I are both agreeing that, like, it's one of those things that you have to win. Like, yeah, like, we're hoping that we get enough points to move out of the group stage and that we're fine and all. I mean, AEK Athens still has to go to France, which that is a good luck to them because that's a crazy place in itself. But in terms of Ajax, we got to win this one. We got to win this one this weekend. Because if we don't, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, we can't be that bad. And definitely with the PL games, it's all about inexperience at this point. And it sucks. It sucks that we have to go down this path. And we've seen Brighton at their best. We've seen Brighton at their worst. And now is time for Brighton to step up and win some games, at least in the Europa League. So, alrighty then. That being said, last minute bits here. Tizzy, plug in your socials, please.
Yeah, first of all, if you want to follow me on Twitter, yeah, Wolves Argento, ArgentO, Wolves Argento. Yeah, I upload tweets and I'm a bit to it probably every single day. Sometimes I forgot, but the match tweets are really reliable, and obviously if I some bits of important information about, for example, transfer window, I obviously try to search for a reliable source as well. So yeah, and obviously when it's match day and Wolves play really well and Wolves win, and even more when Wolves win in the final minute, like we've seen at Bournemouth. Yeah, I get crazy and I enjoy that moment also on Twitter.
Okay. Valen, nos decís sus redes sociales, a dónde te pueden encontrar.
Me pueden seguir, I follow, ¿cómo se dice? Follow me on you Twitter. You can follow me in Twitter. Yeah, de todo acento y todo. En Twitter, como me pueden encontrar como Brighton-Arg. En Twitch y ya en las otras redes sociales, YouTube, de todo, Twitch, YouTube, TikTok, como Valen VHA o VHA. Como más les gusta o prefieran, y nada, subo, la verdad que subo contenido bastante seguido en Twitter todos los días porque es la que más fácil se puede manejar, uno puede decir algo, piensa algo y lo sube, pero por lo general intento subir la mayoría de los días contenido en todos lados, y nada, eso, y si les gusta el fútbol, les gusta el Brighton, les gusta la Premier, les gusta el fútbol en general, me pueden seguir. Por lo general, me cuentas más de información, pero también de humor. Intento encararlo más por ese lado, porque el fútbol es el fútbol y uno se hace mala sangre, se enoja, pero la idea es que al fin y al cabo la pasemos bien, nos riamos, ganemos o perdamos. Obviamente se disfruta más ganar, como Tizzy que dijo que contra el Bournemouth lo disfrutó. Bueno, uno disfruta, el Brighton hace 5 partidos que no gana, pero ya me estoy olvidando un poco lo que ganar. Pero yo confío en que si el jueves vamos a volver a esa senda positiva.
Okay. So if you guys want to follow Valen, you can follow Valen at Brighton_ARG. So Brighton Arg. On all of his other social networks, whether it's TikTok, whether it's YouTube, whether it is Twitch, you're going to be finding him at Valen BHA. Obviously, we all have BHA at the beginning of our names. So Valen BHA. All right. Muchas gracias por venir. Era un gusto hablar con ustedes. Thank you guys so much for coming on to Albion Obsessed. I know this is kind of a big deal, especially because you guys don't do this very often and there's a language barrier, but I truly appreciate it. Like, muchas gracias por venir. Era un gusto mío para hacer este episode. Es muy importante para mí porque yo quiero poner la visibilidad de la gente de Sudamérica mirando estos juegos. Es muy importante. One of the things that I wanted to set out doing on this podcast was just kind of elevate the South American fan base, because we definitely have a lot of South Americans on our team. And then, of course, you want to put names to faces that are on Twitter. And like, these two guys are a perfect example of who you want to follow online for more information regarding that. So thank you guys for joining. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching. Feel free to follow Albion Obsessed online, everywhere, all too good to go. My name is Sony M, and we'll see you guys next time, hopefully on a different episode.